It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are right now in the beginnings of the aster season. Actually, the large-leafed asters began to bloom in mid-July, but boy, there are a ton of asters that are just about ready to bloom or are blooming right now. And we'll be talking about those in just a moment. But first, I got a couple of things I need to clear up, including some notes that came in over the transom, so to speak. Kathleen sent me a note with a lovely picture of an amazing chicken of the woods mushroom on an oak stump. She said it wasn't on her property, so she was just watching it. I would think that the owner of the property wouldn't even notice if you came and took it. A lot of those go unseen, even though the chicken of the woods is bright orange on top and lemon yellow underneath. Pretty hard to overlook. But at the same time, you know, people would walk by it and be like, nah, I'm not eating that. Unfortunately, they're passing up a pretty good mushroom. I heard from Russell Hopp, and he was talking about bug hatch and warblers. And the migration of the warblers is definitely on. Lots of things going on with those. And Mary Miller sent me a note about the white oak, bur oak, in her yard. We, this far north, most of the white oaks that we see are bur oaks. The difference between a white oak and a red oak, and these are families now. There are several different red oaks, and there are different white oaks as well. But the white oaks have rounded leaves. So if you look at the, if you follow the edge of the leaf around, if at the end of each of the lobes it's nicely rounded, it's a white oak. If it comes to a sharp little point, though it's not prickery, it's not pointy like if you touch it, it's not going to stick you the way a thistle would, but it comes to a nice point like that, those are red oaks. Now, what Mary was wondering is why there were all these little white oak branches laying in her yard. And the reason is the white oak acorn is highly prized by just about every animal that eats acorns. And that would be deer, squirrels, chipmunks, bears, all of them and others really, really like white oaks. And in her yard, the squirrels were going out on the white oak branches until they got to the point where they couldn't go any further. And if there were acorns beyond that point, they will simply cut off the branch, let it fall to the ground, and then run down and harvest the acorn and haul it away. They prefer the white oak acorns over the red oak acorns because the white oak acorns are sweeter, that is, less bitter, and they have more nutrition than the red oak acorns. My red oaks in my front yard began dropping acorns this week, and they're kind of falling like rain. You'll be outside and you'll hear this thwack, pop, bounce, crack, and an acorn will fall to the ground. And there are lots of them hitting the ground right now, and they are being ignored by the squirrels and the bears and everybody else. They will possibly eat them, though they won't eat all of them. They, in a pinch, there is some sustenance there, but the red oak is just not preferred by many animals. The white oak is the one they're looking for. And the last note that I got sort of vicariously or in over the transom, as I said, Maya, who was out with me on a hike at Sugar Lake Lodge and captured a fishing spider. And we looked over that fishing spider very carefully. She was carrying a little egg sac about the size of a pea held underneath her legs right in the front. And I held her in my hand and put a finger on one of her legs so she wouldn't walk away. And everybody got a good close look at her. She was lovely. And once in her life, she will build a net, a web. And she will build it around that egg sac. So when she finds an appropriate spot for her egg sac, she will construct a web around the egg sac. And when the eggs hatch and the little spiderlings emerge, they will dance around on that web and be protected from predation by that web that will have that little interference for anything that might come and try to eat them. And that egg sac, and I know from personal experience, there are upwards of a couple hundred little baby spiders in there. And they will emerge from that egg sac this fall and disperse. And some will survive the winter, and those that do will be the big full-sized fishing spiders that you will see in the spring and summer. Now, the fishing spider is the largest spider in Minnesota, way bigger than the wolf spider. People oftentimes see these spiders and say, oh, it's a wolf spider. Well, wolf spiders are quite a bit smaller, half the size maybe. A big wolf spider might be an inch to an inch and a quarter, leg tip to leg tip, and a big fishing spider will be two and a half inches, leg tip to leg tip. So these are the really big spiders. Let's turn our attention then to the asters, because they are right at the top of my list of fun things to look at. Among the asters that I found yesterday while I was out hiking, flat-topped aster, which is an easy one to identify, big clusters of white flowers. The disc might be 4 to 6 or 8 inches across and flat-topped. So all of these flowers are going to be at the same level. And that is white, and that is the flat-topped aster. The other white aster that I found yesterday was the eastern-lined aster. It's Symphotrichium lanceolatum, perhaps. But anyway, it is also a white aster. This flower is smaller, half to three-quarters of an inch across. There will be lots of them. They will be clustered at the tops of these plants, not like the flat top, not all at the same height, but every leaf axle will have a stem coming out of it, and each of those stems will have dozens of flowers on them. And so the overall effect is like 30 or 40 of these little white flowers, little in the sense that they're, you know, half to three quarters of an inch, but dozens and dozens of them on the tops of these little plants, the eastern-lined aster, which is also a white aster. Among the blue asters that I found yesterday, and those include the large-leafed aster, which has been blooming for a long time, and that's the one that usually is found in the woods. And oftentimes, the big blue flower disc there will have petals missing, rays missing. So it looks as though, if you're looking at it, it's not a perfect circle. It's interrupted. The other blue aster that has been blooming for quite some time, at least since mid-July, is the northern heart-leaved aster. And this is the one that has, if you find a blue aster, look down the stem toward the bottom. If near the bottom of the aster you find a leaf that is heart-shaped and the petiole, that is the structure that holds it to the stem, has a little wing on it, a little growth, a tissue along the edge of the petiole, that is your northern heart-leaved aster. And the other aster that just began to bloom at my house yesterday is the purple-stemmed aster. And this one is fairly tall. Five and a half feet. It has a cluster of smallish blue to lavender flowers at the top. The purple stemmed aster, if you look at it, it has an even growth of hair all the way around the stem, and the eastern lined aster has hairs on the stem, but they grow in rows, in lines, hence the name lined aster. But get out and look at the asters. There's a bunch of them blooming right now, and they're pretty spectacular. Among the other flowers I was enjoying yesterday, the spotted touch-me-nots have to be near their peak again or still. They have been blooming like crazy, and I tried to take a slow-motion picture with my camera, a slow motion movie of the seed pod bursting. But even in slow motion, it's a little too fast to be made out. I need a more sophisticated camera if I'm going to get a really good picture of the spotted touch-me-not seed. Now, if you find these are bright orange, tubular-shaped flowers. They are pretty amazing in that they start off male and then become female. They're designed so that when the hummingbird comes and runs her beak in there to get the nectar, the flower tips down and puts a little dab of pollen on her forehead and she moves to the next flower. And if it's at the female stage, it will accept that pollen and pollination occurs and more seeds will come. The seeds right now, they are little green banana-like structures. And if you find these bright orange flowers, look the plant over and you'll find these inch to inch and a quarter green banana-like structures. If you touch them or if you try to manipulate them, they will burst and the seeds will fly off and the next year's plants will be assured. For those of you looking for signs of fall, round-leaf dogwood, I saw one round-leaf dogwood that was absolutely scarlet in its color. The whole bush was just this. Driving along, the whole woodside is green. And then all at once, here's this one bush that is bright red. And that was round-leaf dogwood. The red maples. I've seen red maples that are beginning to turn. I'm reading a book called The Light Eaters by Zoe Slanger. And she talks about some of the research going on in botany right now. And it turns out that plants, like humans, have different personalities. Some are very bold and just go and do things that by plant standards are pretty reckless. And some are really timid. And I think that maybe some of these that are turning red this time of year might be those that are a little bit on the timid side. It's like, oh, winter's coming. I think I'm going to turn my leaves red and get out of here. I'm not sure of that, but I do notice that some early red maples have begun to turn. Balsam poplar, the balm of Gilead, the leaves are falling. Looking outside the studios here, there's a couple of big ones between me and the river, and they are definitely turning color. Speckled alder down in the swamps has these green, they're called pseudo cones. People like to call them pine cones, but since the alder is not in the pine family, they really aren't pine cones. And there's a difference. The speckled alder is a flowering plant, and if you look at the speckled alder right now, you'll see next year's male flowers. They're bright green catkins that are about an inch long on the speckled alder, but the really entertaining part of them is the female flower, which eventually becomes this little wooden dark brown cone, and that cone sometimes gets afflicted by a fungus, and that fungus causes a bright red fleshy tissue to emerge, and it looks like a tongue. So if you're looking at your alders and you see these red or sometimes brown or purple tongues sticking out of the little green cones, and I'm using cones kind of liberally there, they aren't, as I mentioned, really cones, but at any rate, they have this alder tongue gall, and this gall grows out the side of the flower, and you can see it pretty easily if you're looking at speckled alders these days. They're quite prominent. Interrupted fern and bracken ferns are both turning yellow. Well, the bracken fern is turning brown, and the interrupted fern is turning yellow, but they are definitely moving towards their finish. Of the birds, yesterday I still had male hummingbirds. I had a rose-breasted grosbeak juvenile last Friday, but I haven't had one since. Common nighthawk, Sam Miletich called me and mentioned that he saw common nighthawks, and my friend Mark Gwilliam also mentioned that he had seen common nighthawks on migration. And that turned out to be one day later than average. There's a huge flock of crows around my house, and they have been very entertaining. They're out in the lake. My lake is really low right now, and they're hanging out on some of the mud flats. And I don't know if they're eating wild rice or what they're doing out there, but they are definitely out there. I had juvenile pileated woodpeckers come to my suet feeder this past week, and they look a little comical. Their red cockades are not nearly as red or as organized as their parents. They look a little bit disheveled, and the woodpeckers themselves look a little confused at coming to the suet feeder, but they'll figure it out. The Blue Jays are molting right now, and their head feathers are molting, and I can't tell you how ridiculous it looks and how embarrassing it must be to be a Blue Jay and have your head feathers all gone. They have a head, it looks a little bit like a mourning dove, very small relative to the body size, and without those feathers and that big cockade that they have, they look a little bit crazy, so kind of funny to watch them. Final notes, had a family of black bears cross the road in front of me at the corner of Harristown Road and the River Road. Sow and three cubs, all just looking like holes in the day. I mean, they are so black. You see them and they just are like, it's like looking at midnight. It's just black. They were lovely. I couldn't have been happier to see them. And this past week, I turned up a wood tick, which is the first one I've had in quite some time. And this was a wood tick, not a deer tick, but they will be active for a month or so right now. And then we'll see the last of them. But the deer ticks, they'll hang on well into November, I'm certain. So be ready for that. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk again next week.
You can find lots of information, phenology, and nature conversations at kexc.org. Good way to learn a lot each week is to sign up for that Season Watch newsletter, chock full of information and photos.
Yeah, probably some pictures of the downy rattlesnake plantain, which I didn't mention, but which is in full flower right now. It's a small orchid, Gudiera tessellata, I think. But it's a beautiful thing. The leaves are gorgeous, and the flowers are no slouches. Big spikes of white, tiny white flowers. The flowers are probably just maybe 3/16. I don't think they're a quarter inch. They're small, but they're beautiful. So if you happen to come across a stalk about 15, 18 inches, well, no, about 12 inches tall, covered in white flowers at the top, check the ground beneath and you might find these beautiful reticulated leaves that are dark green with these pale, pale green, almost white stripes through the leaf. Really a beautiful little thing. And they're in this week's newsletter. So check them out.